One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We are back just like that. Start off your work week. Leaning heavy into 2025 so far. We've survived the first two rounds of Snowmageddon. Sounds like there's more on the way. Yahoo.
It is fun.
I'm excited. Except
that it's not.
By excited, I mean not excited.
No, snow is probably single-handedly one of the dumbest things ever
created.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a solid ocean, cold solid ocean.
Yeah,
terrible.
Yep, I agree.
Absolutely terrible. But yeah, that's what we get for living in the Midwest. We did it to ourselves.
We did choose to live here,
but. If you're new here and you don't want to listen to us talk like that, you're going to want to fast forward to about 5 minutes to get to the show because we got to get through some business. And the business is checking us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit, TikTok for a little bit until they shut it down. If they're going to, who knows? Anyway, search up the Hollow Sky Podcast, join the community, join the cult. It's a cool cult. Everybody has a good time. It's pretty dope. Just a cool thing to do. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future show, Kyle's got the deets you're going to want.
I do have all the information that you're ever going to need. It's in the show notes. That's it never changes. It's always there. It's old reliable. But the order of operations is going to be write your story out in as much detail as possible. Because lately I've been looking into stories that are not written in as much detail as possible, and it's extremely annoying. So do us all a favor, write it out with as much detail as you possibly can, immerse us into that story. Then you're going to hit send. It's going to go to our email. We're going to get it. We're going to flag it. Or then Steve's going to put it into the patented filing system. and it gets its episode.
It's cool.
Perfect. Perfection. Also, something I always forget to promote, but I need to start doing that. If you guys ever get bored on a weeknight and want to watch us do these episodes, they're all on YouTube. All of them. You can watch our about self-rated three faces on YouTube and enjoy. Be a part of the show at that point.
Yeah.
It's like we're there in your living room.
We have faces for podcasting.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Do with that information what you will.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah. Check the YouTube out. It's growing slowly, but still growing. Forward growth is still growth. One subscriber at a time.
Hey, that's all we can ask for.
We only really have 95,000 more subscribers to go before we get a plaque.
It's not that far. It's not that far.
No.
We're stupid enough to keep trying.
That's true. That is true. If you'd like to support us in our endeavors and support the show, you can pop over to Patreon. $7 a month. We got all kinds of cool stuff over there. Extra episodes, Patreon exclusives. You get the regular shows early. You get them ad-free. We got Casket Breath music going on over there. You get first dibs at some merch drops. There's merch coupons, all kinds of things that we pop up over there for our patrons. You can go to hollowskypodcast.com. Check out the merch store. Got all kinds of goodies over there. New hats drop. They've been flying. Just ran a good sale on all our shirt back stock. We should have some new designs in 2025. Keep your eyes open for that. Stickers over there too. Best thing you can do is share the show word of mouth. Just keep hollering Hollow Sky into the ether, and we're going to manifest this bitch to the atmosphere.
Let's go.
And beyond. So if you have other paranormal shows you like, you want us to collab, holler at them, holler at us, do your thing. And then you can go to wherever you listen to podcasts, your podcatcher, if you will, and leave us a wonderful 5-star rating and review. And if I find it, I will shout you out. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend, sad former listener. We hope you're a happy current listener if you're leaving us a review. But old Saddy over here says, dopest paranormal podcast. Only the dopest paranormal podcast there is. Leaves my ear holes itching for more. Heard y'all in the confessionals and never went back to Tony. These guys make you feel like you're just sitting around with your best bros, Bigfoot bong ripping. Got a few tales to tell myself, but only on a few listener story nights or a night shift edition, of course. Make Cryptids of the Corn jealous with your very own sky creature story to broadcast. Thanks for everything. Keep on keeping on. Hollow Cult for life. Hell yeah. Sad former listener.
I can just smile.
I hope you're a happy current listener of the Hollow Cult.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's the only cult worth being in.
There's influencers and there's influencees. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. We don't typically buy into other people, so.
We love you, sad former listener. We're glad you're a current Hollow Sky listener. But yeah. Keep sending us the goodies. It boosts our ego. We love it. But that being said, we're at 6.5 minutes. Sorry for the people that tuned into That's five okay. expecting a show.
That's okay.
Here we are. So today, this week, I was struggling to find a episode. And then I stumbled over to Humanoid Encounters on Reddit, and I was just looking. There's a lot of weird shit on Reddit.
Yeah, it's a good place to troll around once in a while.
Yeah. Humanoids Encounters has some weird stuff. But then I saw someone mention a gnome, and I'm like, damn, we haven't really, like, we've talked about the Fae and the Dwinde. But I don't think we ever really went hard on gnomes.
I don't think so.
They've been included in some episodes.
Yeah.
But we never went hard. So I went down this gnome hole.
Good.
Which.
I'm surprised that you fit.
Yeah. That's a bad joke.
No, no. I knew it was going to come out wrong. I knew it was going to come out wrong. But I couldn't fit in a gnome hole.
No, no.
I'm surprised. I don't think that my son is going to fit in a gnome hole.
I'm surprisingly agile for a bigger man.
It would be a sight to see if you just took off running and like dove in that motherfucker.
Or just disappeared.
And you disappeared. I'd be like, what just happened?
So, yeah, as I'm perusing the gnome hole, I'm finding little gnome encounters here and there. And then I came across one that's recent. And I thought,
is recent?
Like within the last 15 years.
Oh, I thought he was going to say 2 months. I was like,
well it might be 2 months. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm going to say 15 years. And it just further cements the fact that the Fae respectfully are kind of dicks.
You know, that also brings me to a point. I actually really love. That's probably one of my favorite subjects to cover at this point are stories on the Fae.
This might be your favorite Fae story.
I mean, am I wrong to say that? Don't you kind of get a weird level of enjoyment from hearing Fae stories?
I think there's a lot more to it than we ever really know. Like, our interest in it kind of peaked with the What the Fork episode.
Oh, yeah.
And then I posted the question on Reddit probably 5 years ago. Anybody missing any forks? That thing is still getting comments to this day.
I love it.
Of people finding it and being like, yeah, I'm missing like 14 forks that I just bought last week. I'm telling you.
That's awesome.
They're up to no good. They're up to some trickery. I'm not saying it's necessarily malevolent, but they are being dicks.
Hey, man. I'm not close to it once in a while.
So am I. But yeah, we're going to jump in. We're going to jump right down. I'm taking you down the gnome hole with me. So yeah, gnomes, elves, fairies, magic, tiny people have pretty well made a mark throughout history, throughout cultural boundaries. Every country has tales of them. And they take kind of different forms in the lore. And they kind of, I don't know, they almost like you said, they almost represent like a subconscious bond between all us living humans, despite our cultures and our countries and our backgrounds. We all kind of have, it's almost like Bigfoot, you know, everybody has their own stories of it. Be it bedtime stories or urban legends, you do stumble across, especially in the annals of Reddit, people who actually encounter these gnome entities. And sometimes they're not just playful, sometimes they can be hostile and assholes.
And I know what most people are thinking right now. They're probably thinking, I'd just suplex one of them through a table. They got to weigh like, what, 15 pounds at the most?
Yeah. Yeah.
At the most. And I feel like that's probably a pretty large gnome at 15 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm probably off on my estimate on weight there. Regardless, not that big. However, as I'm sure Steve's kind of halfway alluding to now, I think you're going to find out that the gnomes are probably pretty worthy opponents.
This is going to be your favorite episode. I already showed you the artwork, and you think I just made it up? I didn't.
Did you? Please tell me.
Let's just let it. Okay. Manifest on its own. Okay, so
I'm ready.
Malevolent gnome here takes us to the U.S. state of California, which is burning now.
Shit, his home's probably gone.
Yeah, that's probably what they did, try to get rid of this motherfucker.
But I hope that was the solution. They're having way too many gnome problems, and they're like, fuck it. We're just going to burn it all.
Set it on fire.
Burn it all.
But this little gnome didn't just terrorize one family. It was multiple families that were under siege from this mysterious, tiny man-like creature.
I love the word choice there, under siege.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. That's a good visual description I got going on right now.
Oh, you just
he's wait. Out there trolling the block, mm-hmm. fucking with everybody.
So the first account here of a family that was plagued by this.
By this one specific gnome, right?
Gnome-y.
All right.
Entity starts with a woman we're going to call Tammy. Tammy moves in with her three children to this rural farmhouse near the town of Porterville, California. It's in the San Joaquin Valley, right off the Tule River. This takes place around 2004. Tammy recounts that things immediately did not feel right when she moved into the home. She said there was a heavy sense of being watched at times. Like it felt like there was always the feeling of eyes upon her, whether they were outside, whether they were inside. But during these initial episodes, she never really saw who the perpetrator was. It was just that odd feeling of being watched. We've all felt it, but it was a constant around her new home. It didn't take her long to realize that this feeling kind of manifested itself the most around this old barn on the property. Her property was huge, 100 acres, nice big farm, and this barn in particular kind of set on a secluded portion of this property. So, as she would kind of meander around the barn, the whole kind of feeling around the barn kind of just kept getting colder and heavier, and it was covered with like a thick sense of dread. And she started to notice that the animals on the farm that the family owned were avoiding the barn almost at all costs. The cats, the chickens, the turkeys, dogs, ducks, they all just did not want to be near the barn. They would wander all over the property, all over. They would not go near the barn. She even noticed that the local wildlife and the neighbors' animals also would not go in the barn. No birds, no owls, nothing. They just steered clear of the barn. So it's probably because there's a gnome in there.
I mean, the gnome wouldn't have been my first guess. However, obviously something strange going on at that point. If all wildlife in the area is saying, no, I'm good. I'm not trying to go over there. And then not to mention, she's also getting weird feelings when approaching that same barn.
The barn sus.
Yeah.
Imagine how much of the local wildlife knows what's going on. Like there's deer out there like, yeah, this little bastard jumped on my back and rode me around the back 40, you know?
I mean, you can't really blame him for that either, though.
No, that's what I would do if I was a gnome.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of possibilities open up when you're that small.
Yeah, that's true. And whenever you have magical powers.
Also true. Also, that's a big leg up in life.
Yeah, yeah. So, as noted, whenever animals would pass the barn, they would just kind of give it a they'd walk a wide circle around it. And she noticed that they would kind of act strange when they would get close to it. They would stare into from a distance. They would stare into the open doors of the barn, almost as if they were looking at something or if something was looking back. She said the dogs would go nuts around the barn, barking and yipping excitedly, even though she could see no one in the barn. Sometimes she could hear strange noises coming from the barn as well, which sounded like grunts, growls, and squeals. To add another layer to the whole uncanny sense of the barn, Tammy claimed that she began to notice several of her animals had begun to go missing, gone without a trace. It was immediately suspected that the menacing barn had something to do with it. So, now also, you know why the animals are walking wide around the barn.
I also love the description there. Because it's such a particular way of wording that. The like, instantly, dun dun dun, the barn is at fault. For my missing animals. Such a bizarre way of putting it.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know. You almost have to put yourself in her shoes because you already know something's not right.
Yeah.
You get to a place and you know it feels weird. You're like, okay, this is sus. But then you see every other living being also acting sus around this particular place. When things start getting more sus, I feel like I would also kind of lean in the direction like, hey, it's probably got to do with this sus ass stuff we got going on over here.
I absolutely agree that I just wouldn't blame it on the barn per se. I would be like, whatever is going on with that barn. I mean, I guess it is kind of like blaming it on the barn, though.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think naturally I would assume aliens. Definitely gnomes would not be at the top of my list for missing wildlife.
It's so much better. Okay. So Tammy's just kind of doing mental checklist here, kind of chalking it up to nerves. She's moved into a new place. It's a big property. She knows the barn is sus and the animals are missing, but she kind of like wrote it off to rodents maybe nesting in the barn, or maybe there were some coyotes that had taken some of the animals. That was all about to change whenever one evening Tammy and her son get home from the grocery store. They went to Kroger's or Meijer's or Walmart or whatever, and as they're climbing out of the vehicle, go to the trunk, start picking up the bags, she saw some movement from her peripheral vision. That's when she looked up and there was nothing there. She went back to unloading the groceries, but almost immediately there was another movement. This time, punctuated by an insidious laugh. Standing there 50 yards away was what she described as a humanoid creature about 3 feet tall, which sported a beard, wearing baggy black pants, a gold shiny shirt,
yes,
and a red pointy cap.
Oh, I'm so excited right now. The fact I was hoping that when I was getting to it in the beginning, that's what I was getting at. I hope he's wearing his gold shirt.
And I put that verbatim into the AI image creator, and it did not.
It did
disappoint.
No, it did not. It absolutely did not. I'm actually now far more excited about the situation. The fact that this little asshole has a pair of JNCOs on and a gold shirt.
Hammer pants.
He is
a he is MC Hammer.
Yeah, he's MC Hammer of the gnome world.
So Tammy was like, she would do what all of us did and is like, what is going on? She just stood there looking at it while it was staring at her and her son with deep set, dead black eyes, almost like it was kind of feeling them out, kind of studying them a little bit.
This is the first time that I've ever heard a gnome with jet black eyes.
Yeah, because this one's an asshole.
Bro, okay, put yourself in her shoes. What do you do in that situation? What does Steve do when he sees a 3 foot little asshole on his property? What do you do?
At this point, I don't know, bro.
I think
I'd probably just sit there and be like, I don't know. Give me my forks back.
I would 100% start yelling at it. Because to be fair and honest, 3 foot is not out of the realm for people
football
to be.
Punt. Oh.
No, that's definitely on the table. But I'm saying, like, I feel like isn't there probably like people out there that are about 3 foot tall?
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm off on that.
Oh, that's probably about right.
But regardless.
You think, why is this person on my property?
Yeah. Yeah. I think naturally that's how I react.
I would probably, it's got a red pointy hat on.
That's the part that curveballs you.
I'd say somebody's fucking with me.
The pants and the shirt are like humorous at best. The red pointy hat. Now I'm like, okay, I think I'm with you. All right. You got to be fucking with me, right?
Yeah. That's 100% it. But Tammy goes to say that things kind of start to take a more sinister turn. She says, quote, at this time, I heard a very freaky, very evil sounding chuckle. I looked in the direction of the sound, and there about 50 yards from my son and I is what I can only describe as a gnome. That thing grinned at us, and the creepy grin spread from ear to ear. Its teeth were a gross brown and pointed or jagged. It had a bulbous nose, a large deep set eyes. though I really couldn't tell the color of them. I never got a closer look at it, and I don't know if it was wearing shoes or not, because at the moment I just dropped my groceries, grabbed my son, and ran into the house. So it feels, I mean, I'm not a gnomologist, so I'm not sure of all the ins and outs of the gnomery of a gnome, but this feels kind of trolly.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good way of putting that, with the bulbous nose and stuff.
Yeah.
Because
fangs.
Hey, I cannot applaud you enough for the details in the story. I love it. I love stories. And you're right. It 100%, because I was going to say this is a really good description of a gnome. However, you use the word troll, and I feel like that fits way better.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there could be evil gnomes that don't have the particular aesthetic that good gnomes have.
I'm not going to lie, though. Sitting here and listening to her story and, like, immersing myself in the story with all the details, I think I'm trying to get the smoke from the gnome in that moment.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to go in. I think I'm ready to crack some gnome head.
Yeah. It would probably be different depending on how old her kid is. I mean, maybe not even how old her kid is. If my kid wasn't there, that'd be different. I don't want to have to.
I think my kid being there ramps me up more.
I don't want, if things got out of hand and my kid get injured, I don't want to be the dad that let my kid get injured by a gnome.
Also true.
You know what I mean?
Also true.
Yeah. So as soon as Tammy grabbed her son and entered the house and slammed the door, she began frantically telling her daughters about what had happened between deep breaths. Somewhere outside, she could still hear the strange little asshole laughing louder and louder. Then she noticed movement by the window. Terrified family looked out to see what it was, and as they approached the window, they could see the top of his little pointy red hat loom into view through the window. Which is weird, because the particular window they saw was 8 feet off the ground.
Oh, okay.
So either it's a shape-shifting super gnome troll, or it's a levitating super gnome troll.
Either way, in that case, in that particular instant, he's a troll. I mean that literally and figuratively. Yeah. Because if he can levitate and or grow, he could get his face in that window. But instead, he's like, I'm just gonna put the tip up there.
Just the tip.
And run by the window.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Like, I mean, at that point, he is trolling them.
Imagine deciding to stand 10 toes down and go head on with this thing. And I'm like, stand back, Everett. I got this. I'll handle it. You go over there to take care of business, and boom, 8-footer. You're like, oh, shit.
That's when you tap Ev back in.
Yeah, Ev Stout.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, Ev, you got this, big dog.
Yeah.
You got this.
Chop block that knee, bro. We'll get
you got this. All right, I'll go low, you high.
Yeah. So they see the pointy hat through the 8-foot window. God. Tammy does what any intelligent person would do. Shut them blinds. Close the blinds. That's and fair. Move your kids away from the window. She waited there until it finally went away. This would be the only direct sighting of the evil gnome, but Tammy would occasionally hear the same ominous laughing coming from the barn. She goes on to say, after that night, whenever the dogs barked or howled, we were pretty sure we knew exactly what they were barking at. We were also pretty sure of where our missing poultry had gone. From time to time, we would hear a weird, creepy chuckle and other noises coming from the old barn. Tammy and her family would eventually move away from the house. You'd think, hey, this is where the story is. Gnome's being an asshole, harasses the family. Family has enough of it after it eats all their pets, takes off. No, this is where it gets interesting. Because the crazy thing about this case is that at the time, Tammy had no idea that the family that lived there before her also was harassed by this gnome.
And that's why they left.
Bingo.
That is far more interesting.
Yeah. She would later learn that there had been similar incidents with the family that lived there before them, and other people who lived in the same area had encounters with the same sort of creature. In the meantime, she would continue to experience strange phenomena regarding the gnome, even after moving. She would elaborate on all of this in a comment on the site Weird Fresno, in which she says, "I called it a gnome. Is that what it resembles to me? I did move only about a half a mile down the road and still with the Tool River running between us. I did not know that when I moved here that some of my neighbors had also had experiences with the creepy gnome way before I told my story. They were run out of the river by the thing twice at two different locations. Well, for the past several months, we have started having the same experience that we did at the other place. We have heard a creepy, cackly laugh and heard something running around the house. One night, I was lying on the couch, and I heard something running very fast across my front deck. It hit the gate so hard that it flew end over end. The thing running was too heavy to be a cat, but too fast to be a human. Another night, I was lying on the couch, and I noticed something moving out of the corner of my eye on my deck. The mini blinds were down, but not shut, and I saw the creepy gnome, or at least the red hat, standing next to a shelf on my deck where I kept my yard ornaments, fairies, and things like that, which have gone missing. I closed the slats on my mini blind with my hand, but the curtain was pulled away from the slider, and I did not see, but I knew that that thing was looking at me through the open curtain. I tried to lie really still, and when my grandson came in, I told him what happened, and he pulled the curtain closed. He looked around outside, but only found a few small footprints on a white shelf that's in our storage shed. So the thing is still here, and it's still terrorizing me and my neighbors."
I have some advice for Tammy.
This move.
It's solid.
Again.
Okay, so, Tammy.
Hey, Holocult. We are back, and we are excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. Have you ever been to a dentist who just wants to chat to you while he's got his hand stuck in your mouth? Or a dermatologist who brings up your cosmetic issues before you do? Oof. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to settle anymore when it comes to finding the right doctor. With ZocDoc, you've got options. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings and choose a time slot that works for you and your family, and then click to instantly book that visit. I haven't needed to actually book a doctor's appointment, thankfully, but I have gotten on the app and booked some mock appointments, and it is so easy. Believe me when I say it's a one-stop shop. You can get in there and search up your insurance to see who's got you covered. You can search up your ailments for specialists, from cosmetic issues, dermatology issues, all across the board. And you can even book appointments that's within the next 24 to 48 hours. It is really, really nice. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/HOLO1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. Hey, Holocult. Do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? Well, you don't have to do that anymore, because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
When you're being terrorized in your own home, and you're not going to go toe-to-toe with it, you decide to take flight as the option instead of fight. Don't flight a half a mile away.
Okay. Gnomes got a large area that they can cover.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Also, on top of this, I'm not trying to throw any shots here. I know it wasn't intentional, but I feel like you may have been appropriating his culture a little bit by all your fairy yard ornaments. Might have brought a little smoke your way.
Yeah, can you imagine him? He finally runs them out of the property that he doesn't want them on, and then he's like, finally, they're gone. And he looks down the road, and they're moving into the house down the road, and she's got lawn gnomes. But yeah. Not lawn gnomes.
He's like, these motherfuckers.
God damn it.
That's what I think happened.
So we got previous gnomery, current gnomery, and here we go.
Well, one question, and it may or may not get answered, because you did say in the beginning that there was only one visual account of said gnome.
I think that may have just been Tammy's.
Okay, because my question is, are all the descriptions the same, or do they vary?
We'll see.
Okay.
Because a new family now moves into the house
that she was in.
Yes. It's years later.
We right? need to figure out where this house is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go and see MC Gnome Pants.
Dude. So a new family would move into Tammy's previous house in 2010. Adding to the whole bizarre story, author and paranormal investigator Jason Offit got into contact with one of the new owners of the house. There's a series of articles actually that Jason put out. You guys can go and catch and read. And the timeline is cool because you have Tammy's first, and then you kind of, as you're going, realize that Tammy realizes that the neighbors also had problems with the gnome. And then a couple years down the line, Jason's also contacted by this woman, Charlie Thomas, who moved into the house now and is now fighting with the gnome. So it's a whole thing.
It's awesome.
It's a whole thing that is awesome.
I'm excited.
So the new owners of the house, Charlie Thomas, who also had her own strange story to tell, claiming that her and her family was also being terrorized by a gnome-like creature. She claimed that the family had been taunted with eerie singing and chanting coming from outside their windows at night, and they too immediately noticed that there was something weird going on with the decrepit old barn. It would only escalate from there. One evening in the early morning hours, the couple woke to the sound of a raspy, gurgling singing, which chilled them to the bone. When they looked outside the window, they could see standing by a small pond on the property a creature standing around 3 feet tall. This time, wearing maroon pants and a baggy yellow shirt with a brown vest and a dark waistcoat. He dressed up for this. He dressed up.
Okay.
The thing was described as having a bushy gray beard, wearing a tall pointed red hat. The eyes were said to be small, deep-set, and black. Its teeth were discolored, jagged, and sharp, to the point of almost looking broken. The creature seemed to know it was being watched, and apparently stared right back at them, before this fucking dick, before reaching into the pond, pulling out one of their koi fish that they had just stocked the pond with, and jamming it into its mouth, eating it, and laughing. This pissed Charlie's husband off, who went out onto the porch and started screaming at the gnome who was eating his fish. Her husband says that the gnome, still fish guts in its mouth, looked at him, gave him the finger, and then ran off laughing back into the barn.
That's awesome. That is, this is the greatest gnome story of all time. I don't know that anybody is ever going to beat this. I do, and I freaking applaud the husband this time for wanting the smoke. Because I'm serious. I know that I would. Up until the point paranormal shit starts happening, I'm trying to get the smoke. Okay. But I do have some things that I noticed and solutions to said problem. The singing and chanting and stuff really reminds me of the submission we had from Harrison and the flutes.
I was thinking the
same vibe, right?
Yep.
And also, solution to said problem, catch the barn on fire.
Yeah, just burn his house down. That would really piss him off.
Dude. I mean, yeah. I think if I got mad enough, I think at first I would think about it. And then I'd be like, no, I can't do that. And then I would go, but wait a minute. I can do that because that's my barn. That's not anybody else's barn. That's my barn.
Bulldoze that bitch.
Yeah. So I can do whatever I want with that barn.
Yeah. I got to ask.
And is it possible here that there's more than one gnome doing all this shit?
Could be. But this one sounds very similar. It just sounds like he's got a wide wardrobe.
Yeah.
Especially the broken teeth and the gray beard.
Yeah. The definitely dead on and the eyes, all
it
that
could
stuff.
It could be just a whole band of cannibalistic asshole gnomes.
That's what I'm wondering, man. Because usually gnomes, but then again, you only typically have the one sighting of a gnome, so you only get to describe what they're wearing that day per se. But it does make me wonder if there is
true.
It does make me wonder if there is like a little band of them there. You know, they're just all out there running amok, being little assholes.
Part of me hopes he has like this, just the whole, like, everybody's been too afraid to go in the barn. So they go in there and it's just this giant wardrobe of gnome clothes. Like, it's like David Bowie's wardrobe or Seth Rollins. You go in there and there's just all sorts of different like colored hammer pants and glittery shirts.
I think that's actually probably way fucking cooler than there being like a whole army of them.
Yeah. I'd rather be one.
Yeah.
Fashionally conscious gnome than a band of gnomes.
And he's got sass.
He is sassy.
He's got
Speaking
sass.
Of sass, I want you to put yourself in Charlie's husband's boots. I gotta get the reaction. You look out. Charlie wakes you up, says, hey, there's a gnome out at the pond and he's being a dickhead. You're like, oh my God, are we really having this conversation? So you get up, put your boots on, look out the window, and this thing looks you in your soul. And eat your fish. And you're like, this motherfucker, those koi fish are expensive. A, B, you don't live here. You don't pay rent. Let's talk about it. You go out on the front porch. You yell at him. Hey, let's talk about it. It gives you the finger and runs away.
Oh,
what do you do?
I'm going to say, listen, here, you little motherfucker. And I swear on everything that I am. If I see that little fuck run into the barn, I am hauling ass after him like a pissed off dad, because you almost envision your son doing something dumb like that and then running off laughing about it, and you're like, oh, you're gonna find out here in a minute, kid. And I think that's my mentality at that point, is, oh, I'm about to whoop that ass, that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, like, it's I think for a while I would just stand there and be like, what just happened?
No, I think in me, a switch gets flicked and I'm on the warpath. 100%.
Because, I mean, you have to assume it's his first time encountering the gnome.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, like, I would still be in the mindset, like, somebody's fucking with me, right? This is weird.
Yeah, I'm going to think somebody's that it's some dirty little shit.
Until it eats the fish eats the live fish right off the rip.
I'm saying some.
Then I'm like,
this is some dirty homeless guy eating my fish.
Then I'm going to be like, okay, this is probably out of the realm of where I thought it was going. And I'd be like, hey, stop eating our fish.
Yeah, because still at this point, especially being the husband in this story and not knowing of previous this, that, and the others, I'm going to automatically assume this is a person.
Yeah.
Not a paranormal entity. So I'm going on the warpath because, like I said, I feel like it's a dirty homeless guy.
And it's also been being a dickhead singing when you're trying to sleep.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of an asshole.
Yep.
So, yeah. Middle finger takes off trucking.
Bro, I'm going in that barn. I don't give a shit.
They went out and examined around the koi pond, and all they found were tiny little footprints about the size of a child's. Charlie goes on record to say, quote, "It was without a doubt the most hideous sound I'd ever heard. It freaked us out. Standing by my pond holding one of my garden gnomes," God damn it.
I told you.
"Was what I can only describe as something out of Grimm's fairy tale. The thing that was standing in our yard was hideous and grotesque. It stood illuminated under the motion detector lights. It was less than 3 feet tall, had a long gray beard, wore maroon pants, a baggy yellow shirt." He loves that gold shirt. He's about it.
How could you not?
"A brown vest and a dark waistcoat. I couldn't tell if it was wearing shoes or not, but it was wearing a reddish brown pointed hat." It is both weird that they couldn't tell if it was wearing shoes.
Yeah.
But anyway, she goes on to say, "The thing that made this creature really hideous was its eyes and its teeth. It looked like it was grinning. Its teeth were jagged and pointed. The eyes were little, beady, dark and mean. That thing, the gnome, the troll, whatever it was, knew we were looking at it, and it reached into the pond and grabbed a koi. Right there in front of us, it dropped it into its mouth and swallowed it. We had noticed that every time we put fish in the pond, they would disappear, and we thought it was cats or raccoons eating them. After seeing that, I think the creepy little creature was the guilty party. The thing apparently really liked that pond, because it would purportedly be seen there numerous times, always in the early morning hours at around 3 a.m., often eating the fish within it. It also, rather amusingly, seemed to like playing with the garden gnome decorations that had been set up around the pond and oftentimes vandalized them. Fed up with the strange intruder, the husband then apparently took away the lawn ornaments and the fish."
That's a move. That's a good move right there.
You got to punish the children.
That's right. That's being a dad right there.
"Which caused the gnome to one night throw an absolute tantrum, stomping about, shouting out in some garbled, unknown, bizarre language. The thing would skirt around the house, banging on the walls and trying to get in the locked doors at night, always at around 3 a.m. Charlie would go on to say, "One night after we had removed the fairies and gnomes and fish from our yard, the creature showed up at the usual time, about 3 a.m. When it showed up and found that the yard ornaments were gone and that the fish were gone, it went absolutely crazy. It was yelling and screaming, something we couldn't understand. But we did understand that this thing was pissed and it wanted us to know it. We'd put a doggy door in the back door. It was big enough for our dogs to go through, so it would be big enough for that creature to go through as well. I took off running down to the kitchen, and as I got there, the dogs had started barking like crazy at the doggy door. If that creature can half run, half fly around the house, it was probably capable of flying up to the windows. A fear hit me like nothing I'd ever felt before. I ran back up into the twins' bedroom where they were both sound asleep in their cribs. The last thing we heard of that creature was a very loud screeching and cackling sound. It was under one of the living room windows. When my husband went to check it out, he saw the top of the creature's hat under the window. Right then, we decided that we were out of there. We couldn't stay there with the creature. The Thomases decided that they would then move away. Perhaps a wise decision, and that was that." So the fact that two separate families who didn't know each other or have any connection with each other reported the same thing gives this case a little bit of weight, right?
Yeah. And in regards to the situation there, very bizarre that both the families that got screwed with had fey lawn ornaments.
That is that. Yeah. Good.
It's weird. Good. Right. And furthermore, I feel like we're on to something here with this thing getting angry that you took something away from it. And it, up to this point so far, whether there's more to the story or not, nobody got hurt per se.
True.
And it never got in the house to mess with people in the house. It almost feels like, I'm not saying that it doesn't have the ability to hurt people, because it probably does, but it almost feels like, almost like a revolting child that needs attention and they don't know how to go about getting said attention. You know what I mean? The temper tantrum for taking those lawn ornaments away is interesting to me.
Yeah. And yeah.
I mean, I get that it probably feels like it's in control and all that stuff. So maybe there's that aspect, but I don't know. It just feels like a child, something a child would do.
Yeah.
Like a temper tantrum. Like it almost, because in my head, I was waiting for you to go on the story and then the dad going outside and being like, all right.
Settle down.
Let's work something out here. Stop eating my fish and I'll let you have some friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
If you read Jason Offit's articles, it kind of goes into it a little bit better about how the two women sort of met up. They were kind of neighbors, but they didn't have an understanding of where, I guess, I'm assuming that Tammy had then also moved away before the new family moved in 2010. Because in Offit's article, he kind of links the two women together as he's doing this Porterville gnome investigation. As Charlie is describing the area, he passes it on to Tammy, and Tammy initially doesn't think it's the same property, but somewhere close. Because when Tammy lived on the 100 acres, there was also like multiple other old homes on the property that Charlie said wasn't there. So she thought maybe it was in the same vicinity of the Tool River, but not the same house or the same home. Eventually the two got together, and Tammy did confirm that it was the same house, but the people who had purchased the property after Tammy left had bulldozed down and raised a lot of the old unlived-in houses on the property. They didn't raise the barn, though. So when she got there, like, yeah, that's my house. That's the barn. That's where the gnome lives. So it corroborated both stories.
Interesting.
Kind of just leads more credence to the fact that these two didn't know each other. What else do I got in here? There was another article that I was reading, had all basically the same information, mostly that the gnome ate the fish and gave the finger. In this one, they said that the Thomases actually called the police and notified them of an intruder on the property. When the police got there, they're the ones who found the small footprints around the pond. So it's kind of here or there. It also talks about its infatuation with the lawn gnomes and the yard ornaments, but it goes on to kind of talk about lore from England, namely red caps. Red caps come from English folklore and were said to be a type of malevolent, murderous fairy that mostly inhabited ruins of castles found along the border between England and Scotland. They would murder any traveler who was foolish enough to stray from their homes. Redcaps got their name from the practicing of dyeing their hats with the bloods of their victims.
Jeez.
They were described as having the appearance of an old man with red eyes and large teeth. So it kind of leans in to whatever this thing was, but then that brings you to question, how did a English, Scottish creature of folklore make its way to Central California, which then could kind of open a door of, you know, migrants and settlers came from over there. Could they have brought a, you know, a straggler, a couple of them with them to California?
Yeah.
Or if they came over here and had, you know, a big fear of these things, could they have possibly created a tulpa of one of these that now resides in California?
I do like that. I was going to go a different route, but I do like that solely because the original description of red caps have them with red eyes.
Yeah.
These have black, so that's interesting.
Which kind of feels tulpy.
Also, another possibility, because I thought I had it figured out until you said that. I would say it's possible that they're here because of migration. So you had people in the old country that actually worked with the Fae.
True.
So is it possible that they're working with one in particular and they brought it over knowingly? Or did get over here and decide to then summon them to work with them? And that's how the origin story gets here. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think all three of those possibilities are probably pretty high on the list.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. But yeah.
Because they're bringing their old world knowledge to a new place. It doesn't mean that their gods or deities or whomever aren't present in a new land. It's just, you know, they're dragging them to the new land with them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's curious that, I don't know, the two families knew of one another or didn't know of one another, but have virtually the same encounter, be it from the way it was dressed, which is similar, the features, which are similar, its interaction with the lawn ornaments, the laughs, the singing, like it's all so parallel to one another, but the two families lived unknowingly of one another in the same place, but almost a half a decade plus apart.
It is weird. The whole thing is weird, and it is probably one of the coolest gnome stories that we've heard so far.
I know. I can't wait to hear JJ's take on it.
I also find, and I know it's kind of an obvious description, but the calling them of red hats. I don't know. I find that very fitting.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Like it's like a, I don't know. I can't really put words to describe how I feel about that. But if it feels legitimate, it feels old country-y, like, you know, the people out in the country.
It's also strange to me now that I'm sitting and thinking about it, how gnome lore has so PG'd itself coming to America. Because I feel like old England Fey lore, not gnome lore, Fey lore in itself. Old England Fey lore had these things as something to fear.
Yeah.
Right? This thing, these red caps were literally dyeing their hats with the blood of their victims.
That's terrifying.
We get like, oh, hey, there's a ring of mushrooms. Look at this Fey ring, blah, blah, blah. Dancing with fairies in the forest. That's like,
weird.
I feel like we need to lean more into the old malevolence of whatever these creatures are. Not so much to, essentially, yes, fear them, but also have a different level of respect for them than we have now. You hear Fey talk and people think it's all, you know, rainbows and mushrooms and fairies and stuff. But 200 years ago, these were things like, if somebody went missing in the forest, that's the first thing people lean to, you know?
That is true. And I feel like there could be some explanations behind that. We modernize everything. You know, there are people that have misconception of grizzly bears because of the way that we have manipulated their image with Smokey the Bear and stuff like that.
Yeah. And look, I mean, look at what's sold to, look at like what's sold to little girls, princesses and fairies.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that has something to do with, whether it be soft disclosure or, making people unknowingly work with the Fae and not, ooh, yeah, and not realize that. It. You know what I mean? And because originally my brain was going down this avenue when you were breaking apart the old world malevolence to the new age imagery, it made me have this thought in my head, and I don't know if it's right or wrong. I'm sure someone will enlighten me on it. But what if because there are plenty of tales out there of people working with the Fae and having deals with them and so on and stuff like that. What if? Because I do feel like, and I could be wrong, but I do feel like the Fae have a level of respect that they want from individuals. Is that fair? Oh, yeah. Is that fair to make that assumption?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, if there is a level of respect that goes with the Fae, what if the Fae, by coming over here, have worked with a lot of the migrants that came here? Because a lot of that's kind of more or less how America was started, was through migration. So what if by bringing them to this new world, and almost like the Fae have toned themselves down out of respect for the lineages that have brought them here, that have worked with them, that have given to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not just a thought that kind of popped in my head, that maybe there was this type of a mutual respect and homage to the people who came and worked with them and sacrificed to them. And so in a roundabout way, they've toned themselves down almost, and I hate to say it, almost in the name of the American dream, that they're that there is more and more people here to work with.
They went from being OGs, murdering people, dying hats and blood, to Americanized, where they're eating koi fish, dancing with lawn gnomes, and giving people the finger.
And I mean, also too, and I'm not trying to take away from them and saying that they've been bastardized and they're not to be feared and so on and so forth, but maybe they self-change their image to have this more of a fantasy image to better hide, to better draw people in to work with them at that point. Because if they do need things from us, I know that they're tricksters and so on and so forth, but if they do actually need things from us, you don't get it by just stabbing everybody.
No. And you often hear like the Fae are there to make deals with you.
Like that's kind of what I've acquired over the time. Yeah, over the
they're
years.
They're there to make deals with you that will work out in their favor. They're not just going to give you something because, right?
Yeah.
So when you said it kind of soft disclosure, where we see them as kind and helping and all of this other kind of
bro, you hear stories of people using them to help grow their trees and to clean their house and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on the flip side of that, you do hear where the malevolence kicks in, like the missing 411. Could it be like they're always at the forefront, right behind like Bigfoot and aliens? You have the Fae there, possibly people either being lured into whatever this Fae realm is, or accidentally passing through one of these gnome holes or Fae rings or whatever, and then disappearing into whatever this realm beyond our human realm is. It's, I don't know, bro. It's weird.
It is weird. I low key love Fae stories, man.
What if the whole barn was like a Fae circle?
Could have been.
You know, that's how the animals weren't going missing where they're being eaten, but they're crossing wandering over in, and they're disappearing. It's, I don't know.
That'd be terrifying.
Anybody live near Porterville, California? If you do, let us know.
Find
San
it.
Joaquin Valley. I don't know where that is in California. I hope it's not on fire. Hope everybody that is living in the area of the fire, if you listen to us, everybody's safe and doing the best you can out there. I keep seeing videos and shit from it, and it looks like apocalyptic. Didn't see any gnomes in the video, though. If you guys want to look more into it, there are a ton of sources. Of course, I use Reddit, Humanoid Encounters. You can find links to it on there. Go to weirdfresno.com. It talks about the Porterville Gnome. What else do I got? Journalnews.com talks about Porterville Porterville Gnome. There was even a news article, the KSEE24. Also, go check out CJOnline.com. That's where Jason Offits does his whole deep dive into the Porterville Gnome encounter. Definitely worth a read. It's older. I think he posted the second one in 2011. So you got to look around for it a little bit, but it is worth a read, and it goes into more detail than I got here. So yeah, that's the gnomery for today.
I love it.
Good time. Anybody who lives in California, like I said, if you live in near Porterville or have been through and have seen a gnome that is wearing black hammer pants and a magnificent gold shirt, and he's giving you the finger, holler at us. Hope you all had a great work week, or a great start to your work week. Check us out at all our social medias. You know the drill. And until next week, when we hang out again, stay safe, stay weird. And I guess if you're having problems with the gnome, just confront it. Confront it. Because if not, it's going to keep eating your fish. It's going to keep giving you the finger. It's going to keep singing and keeping you up in the wee hours of the morning. When Harrison was dealing with it, it flipped all his furniture around outside. You just got to confront them.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.